Yeah. I talked to Arby last week. I'm sorry, guys. I've got 15 things going through my brain right now. The Lord is, yeah, just so kind. He's just bringing so many things to my mind right now of how good he is. Of his deep love. So I hope to share that with you today, challenge you, share a little bit of my journey and some things that the Lord has been teaching me this last week, especially. And Arby asked me to, actually, the first time we've done it this way where he said, I've got a theme. I'm wondering if you can actually go off of that theme to keep things moving. And the theme is explore love today. And So bear with me. I'm a little bit disorganized, and I'm going to need my readers today also because we have quite a few verses to read. So you get two people up here today. My wife says I look like a completely different human being these on. Explore love. Let's go to Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. In verse 36, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart with all your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and with all of your mind. If we actually truly dig into that verse and go after it, there doesn't leave a lot of space to allow other things in there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Where do we need to learn to love the Lord with all of our mind, with our thoughts? What thoughts do we have? Are they his thoughts for us, towards us? You know, one of the ways that the enemy works is he tries to get us to believe his thoughts and make us believe that they're our own. So it's a constant evaluation and digging into the word of, Lord, help me to never have a thought in my mind that didn't originate in your heart. What does that look like? I think it's going to change. It's going to change some things. The word explore, according to the interweb, says to travel in or through an unfamiliar country or area in order to learn about or familiarize oneself with it the best, with it. Similar words are travel over, tour, traverse, range over, survey, take a look at, inspect, investigate, scout, search, prospect. Give something the once-over. Give something a look-see. Give something a going-over. Search for resources such as mineral deposits. Inquire into or discuss a subject in detail. John 3:16, we all know that verse or are familiar with it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So God so loved the world that he sent his only son. So where was Jesus born? He was born in Bethlehem, and they laid him in a manger, which we've all heard that Christmas story. When we were out in Reading this last week, we went to a Christmas tree lighting service over at Bethel, where my kids go to church. And Gabe Valenzuela, one of the pastors there, was sharing on the word manger. And he said the word manger in the original Greek means to eat. Right? Jesus called the bread of life. That all who come to him will hunger no more. I would imagine the wise men, when they came to see him, they were a little surprised to see the baby Jesus in a manger. Normally they're used to seeing animal food. But just looking at what that represents, the significance of it, it's an invitation to come and eat. Come and share a meal. Come and be filled so you hunger no more. Ephesians 3:14 through 21. I wish they had a pair of readers that would help you see through tears. So I'll say that the reason I can't see this is because it's my tears. Just put these on. Ephesians 3:14 through 21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how high, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Verse 19, to know his love that surpasses knowledge. And that can be translated to know by experience what is beyond our comprehension. To know by experience what is beyond comprehension. How have you experienced love? I realized this last week. I wrote down a couple of notes. Often how I see love is determined by how and where I've been rejected. I determine if I am loved by what I see others do or see how they treat me. And I often show love in order to receive love back. And it hit me like, wow, none of that's genuine love. It's what I learned through life experiences. Through how I saw and experienced relationships in my life, you know, from my parents to friends to different relationships I was in, I learned that I was rejectable. I learned that I wasn't worth protecting and that I'm on my own. Right? So I started to view people, life, love, all of those things through that lens. But none of that lines up with who God says I am and what he thinks about me. Right? So the enemy uses those things in our life, right, to try to destroy us, to try to warp, to try to twist. He can't create. He can only alter, warp, or twist. So if God is love, God created love, one of the enemy's number one goal is to twist that, to warp it, to actually use it as a weapon to tear us down. People we thought loved us, right? We have to get to the place where we realign our understanding of what love is and how God created us to love and receive love. We have to identify the lies we've believed and embrace the truth of what he says. It's not true because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible because it's true. It's his word. Right? Meant enough for him to put it together. So we literally have the word of God in print. I've said it before here, you know, when we get off in life, if we're anchored in the word of God and what he says about us and how he sees us and all of the truths that are in this book, you can get off course a little bit in life, but we're anchored to it, so it really won't affect our course. If we're not anchored to it, 1 or 2 degrees off, you know, in 1,000 yards isn't that big of a deal. 1 or 2 degrees off in 1,000 miles and you're gonna end up in another country. So what are we anchored in? All this stuff that's happening around us, work experience, relationships, all these things, are they determining how we see love, how we receive love, how we see God's love for us? If we didn't receive an accurate picture of God's love from our earthly fathers, our earthly mothers, we're going to also experience and see God the same way that we've learned, especially if it happened at a young age where literally our neural pathways, our thought processes are being formed. But the amazing thing is that no matter what those situations were, we can go in this word and we can pray and the Lord will speak to us and actually show us where he's fathered us all along. That he is the father to the fatherless. He nurtures and cares for us. So what is love? And you guys knew, I'm sure, that I was going to head to this chapter, which is 1 Corinthians 13. I read this yesterday, and I just sat there, like, just shaking my head, like, wow, okay. I haven't been that, or I've been that. So 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. And here we go. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So I think we talk a lot in the church about faith, about having great faith, which I'm sure glad there's a few of these in here. Which we need. Do we love each other? Do we know how much God truly loves us. Because if we do, it should transform our lives. It should transform the way that we relate to people, the way that we interact with people. I want to have faith. I mean, without it, yeah, it's pretty tough. But as we learn these things, we have to learn to love and start identifying those things like, okay, God, what are the lies that I've believed? Where do I need to realign my belief system? When I get saved, there's a whole process of learning new neural pathways. When I get triggered, what did I go to for a medication before? When I was in pain, what did I medicate that pain with? What does it look like to form a new neural pathway to where, when those times come, I have a 6-lane highway to the Word of God and what He says about me, that I've read and have known and have experienced those promises that are in here, to where all this other stuff just becomes an overgrown trail in the woods that we don't even see anymore. We don't travel anymore. And I've said it here before also, that verse, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's about learning who we are as sons and daughters. It's about learning how to live in this new identity that we've been given, of learning the power, the authority, the resources that we have access to. And that terrifies the devil, because if he can keep us from actually walking in the authority that we have, wow, like, that's it. But when we actually learn who we are, who we are created to be, that we were made in the very image and likeness of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. People get afraid of the word supernatural. They think, oh, that's part of a denomination or a religion. That's, those guys are just out there. They don't even probably read their Bibles. Have you read the story about the birth of Jesus? How Mary became pregnant? How the sun comes up every morning, the stars are in the sky. We've been given breath. How our bodies are created, our fingers, our toes, everything about us is supernatural. We're created in the very image and likeness of God. I think that's pretty supernatural. I'm going to go through another section here as I was going through in Psalms, and I actually hadn't read it before. It's a little bit longer one, so I'll try to get through it quickly. Psalms 136. And actually, I'm going to read that out of the Passion Translation. Here we go. Let everyone thank God, for He is good and easy to please. His tender love for us continues on forever. Give thanks to God, our King over all gods. His tender love for us continues on forever. Give thanks to the Lord over all lords. His tender love for us continues on forever. Give thanks to the only miracle-working God. His tender love for us continues on forever. Give thanks to the Creator who made heavens with wisdom. His tender love for us continues on forever. To Him who formed dry ground, raising it up from the sea, His tender love for us continues on forever. Praise the One who created every heavenly light. His tender love for us continues on forever. He set the sun in the sky to rule over day. His tender love for us continues on forever. Praise Him who set in place the moon and the stars to rule over the night. His tender love for us continues on forever. Give thanks to God who struck down the firstborn of Egypt. His tender love for us continues forever. He brought His people out of Egypt with miracles. His tender love for us continues forever. With His mighty power, He brought them out. His tender love for us continues on forever. He split open the Red Sea for them. His tender love for us continues on forever. He led his people right through the middle. His tender love for us continues forever. He vanquished Pharaoh's armies, drowning them all. His tender love for us continues forever. He led his people through the wilderness. His tender love for us continues on forever. He's the one who smashed mighty kingdoms. His tender love for us continues on forever. He triumphed over powerful kings who stood in his way. His tender love for us continues on forever. I think there's something here that he wants us to see. He conquered the giant named Og, king of Bashan. His tender love for us continues on forever. Then he gave away their lands as an inheritance. His tender love for us continues on forever. For he handed it all over to Israel, his beloved. His tender love for us continues forever. He's the God who chose us when we were nothing. His tender love for us continues forever. He has rescued us from the power of our enemies. His tender love for us continues forever. He provides food for hungry men and animals. Or hungry men who act like animals when they're hungry. His tender love for us continues on forever. Give thanks to the great God of the heavens. His tender love for us continues on forever. It's about forming new neural pathways. I want this to be so much in my life and my heart that I don't even remember how I thought the other way. First John 4, 7 through 21. First John 4, 7 through 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he lives in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he is in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. That's actually one of the ways to identify, you know, when the enemy tries to give us his thoughts, because he only has fear. And sometimes we as believers, especially when we have so much access to social media and the news and whatever, we actually take fear on, and it masquerades as wisdom, and we justify it. But actually, God didn't call us to live that way. He didn't put that in us. He's given us a place to actually rule and reign with him and influence cities, influence our families. Like Mother Teresa said, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family well. Right? So yeah, that's how we identify those things that we believe. God, is this you? If you care about the sparrow, the very hairs on my head are numbered. Do I actually have to fear? What do I have to worry about? And I'm speaking this to me. I'm speaking this because this is stuff that I've been like, oh my goodness. Lord, I need a reset, a realignment. fear always attracts whatever is necessary to legitimize its existence. Let me say that again. It took me three times before I understood. Fear always attracts the information necessary to legitimize its existence. What are we listening to? What voices are we hearing? All right. So what hinders us from receiving or giving love? Johnny, if you want to come on up. I remember reading the story about, you know, King Saul, and when he was troubled, and then he called in, and they brought David in with a harp. It, I always looked at it like it helped the medicine go down. So Johnny's just going to play a little bit in the background here, and I'm going to walk us through a couple things. Are you guys okay with that if we go through some exercises here? All right, cool. So what hinders us? Oh, maybe this wasn't a good idea to have him play. Now I'm going to need some more tissues. All right. If you guys have your phones or a pen and paper, we have some paper and pens in the back. If anybody doesn't have that and you want to write some stuff down, just raise your hand and our guys will get you a pen and paper. And this is one of those times where, yeah, pull out your phone. Got one over here. Some of you may have done this before. This might be a new exercise for some. It was new for me. It is biblical. We actually get to talk to our Father God. It's pretty amazing. Everybody? Okay. All right, so I'm going to ask you guys to close your eyes. I'm going to ask a question, and then when you get the answer for it, write it down. Okay, there's no right or wrong answer. This is just, you know, a lot of times it's actually the first thought that comes to your mind when asked this question. Father God, what are the lies that I've believed about love? Father God, what are the lies that I've believed about love? Father God, where did I first believe that lie? Father God, where did I first believe that lie? Father God, how do you see me? Father God, how do you see me? This next one's an invitation. Father God, who do I need to forgive? Father God, who do I need to forgive? For many of us, it might be ourselves. Because we're carrying shame, thinking it will help us not fail again, and actually hinders us from receiving his love. So, Father God, who do I need to forgive? And just as God's heart for us, what his heart was for us when we were sinners, before we came to know him, I'm going to ask this next question. Father God, how do you see that person? Father God, how do you see that person? Father God, what is the truth about love that I need to embrace? Father God, what is the truth about love that I need to embrace? Forgiveness doesn't mean that whatever happened didn't happen. It actually releases us and gives us freedom to actually walk in freedom. It releases that burden that is meant to be his to carry, not ours. So if you guys want to just pray this prayer with me, you can pray it quietly or out loud, whatever you want. Father God, I thank you for loving me. Father God, I forgive. Put the name of that person on your lips. Father God, I forgive. Lord, I release whoever that is to you. Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross to take my sins. For taking a punishment that I deserved. That you love me so much that you sacrificed. So Jesus, I thank you that I don't have to hold on to this burden anymore. That I can release it to you. Some of you may still feel some pain from situations, and that's okay. The Lord's inviting you to dig deeper with him. He sees your pain. Sees what you went through. And actually, and this is actually one of the lies I believe that that some people in here are actually dealing with is that, well, that pain was actually God's will for my life. It's a lie that violates the very character and nature of God. It wasn't his will that that happened to you. But just as the Lord healed me from those situations and spoke this so clearly to me, it wasn't my will that you went through that happened to you, but my son. What the enemy went to destroy you with, what he meant to destroy your life with, I am going to give you a weapon to destroy every stronghold. You're going to bring freedom to the captives. You're going to bring breakthrough and victory to people that have gone through what you went through. And the enemy's terrified. That thing about shame is sometimes we have so much stuff in our lives that we're ashamed of, that we think that if we carry that memory, that shame, that guilt, that condemnation, that it's actually going to keep us from committing that same sin again. We've kept shame in our pocket as a tool. That violates the very nature and character of God. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation says you are something, or you'll never get out of this, or whatever that is. Conviction, the Holy Spirit's conviction is, oh, my son, my daughter, you're way better than this. Let's move forward. It's our identity. It's what we have access to. So this process of identifying the lies that we've believed, asking the Lord to reveal that to us, and then getting to partner with him and what the truth is and how he sees us. And like, you know, this life as a Christian, like it's so exciting and crazy. I think like one of the first things, you know, that came to my mind that I wrote down when this wonderful guy was walking me through the same process of identifying these. And he said, all right, I said, pray, Father God, how do you see me? The first thing that came to mind was, you're not as crazy as you think you are. I'm like, well, I don't even know if that's biblical. But he showed me different things in my life that I thought I was crazy. But it was actually a gift of discernment and wisdom that the Lord gave me where I saw things. I see things in people. I see potential. I see how the Lord created you. Caleb, when I saw you dancing and going crazy during worship, I about dropped my drumsticks back there, and I was just so blessed. And just as David danced before the Lord sees you. He hears your prayers. He's going to show you who he is as a father. How much he loves you, how much he cares for you. You're a good son. You're a good man. You're created in the very nature and image of God. You're a blessing. I want to bless you with that. If anybody else in here needs that word, take it, receive it. That's the cool thing about the Lord is speaks to all of us. His promises are yes and amen. I believe there's over 7,000 promises towards us in the Word of God. Wow. Should be able to find some truth in there about how He sees us and what He thinks of us. Are you guys okay if I give a couple words for some people in here? The Lord's really highlighting some people to me. Is that okay? Right. There's a man over here. Your hands are folded. What's your name? Mike? Mike. The Lord has seen your heart for Him, your desires. Your desire to serve Him. I see joy all over your face. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Lord is so proud of you. Where you feel like you've been a failure, that's not how He sees you. He's strengthening you. He's going to give you some downloads. I don't know if there's something that you are... that you're praying into or praying for, or looking for a solution for. But even as you sleep, the Lord's going to give you dreams and visions. He's going to give you wisdom and insight into that. So continue to press in. Again, you're a good man. Yeah, dig in. He's got a lot in store for you. I'm trying to remember the reference on the verse, but it's the trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So take that, press into it. It's going to be exciting. Brother Ron. The Lord's giving you a new download of His heart for you, a new understanding, a new awareness of His love for you, and that's going to spill out into your entire family. Because of your encounter, your experiences with the Lord, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your kids' life. It's going to change your grandkids' life. That your future generations are going to remember their great, great, great Grandpa Ron because of what the Lord did in his life. It's an increase of love, of kindness. You're a kind guy. You're a great, I mean, when you were in our Bible study, like, I was like, wow. Like, I just see the Father's heart all over you and in you. But he's actually going to show you how to walk in it. What that looks like in difficult situations when your kids and grandkids are making some crazy choices. He's going to show you his heart. And when they make mistakes, they're going to have somebody that they can go to. They're not going to be shamed because of their mistakes. They're going to be helped up and shown the love of the Father. So I want to bless you in that. Yeah, Lord, I just pray that right now over everybody in this room and everybody watching online. A new download, a new encounter, God, with your love. Maybe a realization that we've read these verses, we've heard these things. John 3:16, we can quote in our sleep. Lord, I pray right now that we know what that actually is and what it feels like and what the experience is and what it means to actually live in that and encounter it. that will change our lives, our family lines. It will change our marriages, change our relationship with our kids, with our spouse. Change our view of you. That we will see you truly, we will see you rightly. And Lord, as our heart is to change this city and this nation, Lord, for you, that is done in the hearts of people, in the hearts of men, in the hearts of the women in this church. Yeah, breakthrough where breakthrough is needed, healing where healing is needed. Pray blessings and provisions, abundance. Yeah. Amen. This is so nice up here. I don't know if I want to leave. Might be uncomfortable. Can we do one more thing? Where you guys are, quickly get together in a group of five or six and just pray for each other. Doesn't have to be, you don't have to find out everybody's life story. You don't have to share your life story. Just go around your group and just pray for each other. That's gonna be our ministry time this morning. Can we do that? All right. Let's go. I'm gonna get fired. And we're just gonna close in prayer. Lord, I am so grateful, God, for who you are, for your love for us, for your kindness. Lord, that we get to walk as sons and daughters. And I just pray right now, Lord, for a deeper revelation of who you are. We pray blessings of finances, for jobs where there's needed jobs. Yeah, for peace, for strength, for hope and joy. In Jesus' name. Thanks, everybody.